I'm Bob Hirshon.
And I'm Chelsea Wald.
And this is the Science Update Podcast.
This week, we'll be looking at the types of conflicts couples should avoid if they want to have healthy hearts. But first, Bob brings us a story about language, one of the most important things that separates humans from the rest of the animal kingdom. New research shows that our ear for language starts at birth, and maybe even earlier.
That's right. It seems that babies are born with a preference for the sounds of speech, as opposed to other types of sound. This according to developmental psychologist Athena Volomanos of McGill University in Canada. Her experimental device? Pacifiers, or as you call them in the UK, dummies. She and her colleagues tested how vigorously newborns sucked on them in response to two sounds, a spoken nonsense word and a computer-generated sound that has the melody and main frequencies of speech, but isn't speech.
And what we found is that as the experiment goes on, the infant, the neonate, would suck more and more to hear speech and less to hear non-speech, which tells us, the experimenters, that the newborn is showing a preference or being more aroused by speech than these other counterpart sounds.
The question remains whether infants are genetically programmed to prefer speech or if they pick it up by listening from inside the womb. Volomano says she has evidence that it's in part genetic, but regardless of the source, it seems clear that babies' early preference for hearing speech is an important tool in learning language.
Sometimes in nature, little things can make a big difference. Here's an example from the streams of the Ozark Plateau.
Imagine if your body type depended on the texture of your carpet. That's kind of like the life of the Oklahoma salamander, according to evolutionary biologists Ron Bonnet and Paul Chippendale at the University of Texas at Arlington. The salamanders are born in streams as fish-like larvae. Bonnet says that in streams with large, loosely packed gravel, the salamanders mature and breed in this fishy form and wriggle down to underground water during dry summers. But other stream beds are more tightly packed.
There's a lot of small gravel, which sort of fills in all of these spaces between large particles. And when you go out to these streams, they're very tightly packed. And so in the summertime, when the stream is dry at the surface, there's not really any access to any underground water.
So instead, these salamanders shed their gills and transform their bodies for a new life on land.
The website myspace.com has been in the news a lot recently, and not for good things. But before parents start taking their children's computers away, one researcher wants them to know that kids can have positive experiences on MySpace, too.
That's right. MySpace.com is a popular social networking website with teenagers. Members post profiles, and they can leave messages and chat with other members. Many parents worry, though, that their kids are meeting strangers on MySpace or are making themselves targets for predators. But social scientist Dana Boyd has spent time on MySpace studying the kids who use it. She says they may run into strangers on occasion, but they tend to ignore them.
Whereas they're really spending almost all their time conversing with people that they know and sort of supporting the communities that they already have built in the physical environment.
So while MySpace does carry some risks, Boyd says it also helps teens by giving them a place to develop their identities and friendships.
Keeping your heart healthy means managing your stress, especially conflicts with your spouse.
That's right, Chelsea. Stress in your marriage can be bad for your heart. But the worst kinds of stress differs for men and women. This according to psychologist Tim Smith and his colleagues at the University of Utah. They analyzed older married couples discussing hot-button issues like money and chores. When conversations were hostile, the wives, but not the husbands, had increased hardening of the arteries. For the men, power struggles were the biggest risk factor.
And this is consistent with a lot of other research that suggests that compared to men, women are more attuned to how well people are getting along, whereas men tend to be more sensitive to who's in charge and who's controlling.
Eliminating conflict is pretty much impossible for most couples, but these findings should help them pinpoint the specific sorts of fights they should avoid to make their marriages healthier.
Finally, assessments are everywhere. In school, you take exams, and when you get out, you have to apply for jobs and endure performance reviews. But it might bring you some comfort to hear we've managed to dig up some good news about assessments.
That's right. A new online computer system may make it easy to find the right person for any job, or even the right mate for any person. University of Calgary researchers report that a technique called synthetic validity could be applied to data provided online by tens of thousands of people. In a matter of hours, the system was able to analyze and compare the information and then identify superior performers for particular jobs. They said the technique could also identify romantic partners. In other news, Washington University researchers report that students who take frequent quizzes learn more than students who just study. Quizzed students retained knowledge far longer, suggesting that tests not only assess learning, but may also enhance it.
Well, we've come to the end of another Science Update podcast. Please subscribe if you haven't already at www.scienceupdate.com. It's free. And while you're there, browse our archive and submit a science question. You can also call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT.
Next week, we'll be hearing about a parasite carried by cats and new technologies being developed for children with speech disabilities. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Herjan.
And I'm Chelsea Wald.
For AAAS, the Science Society.